In Ohio, the opioid epidemic claimed the lives of hundreds of people last year. Thousands more ended up behind bars, and a lot of them were women. The picture is similar nationwide, where a record number of women are ending up in jails and prisons after an addiction. Reporter Allison Herrera from PRI's Across Women's Lives series takes us to Montgomery County, where more and more of these women are crowding the jail, waiting for drug treatment or a second chance.
All of the women behind bars at the Montgomery County Jail will tell you the same thing. They didn't wake up one day and decide to be addicted to drugs.
I was taking pain medication for my foot, and that's where opiates escalated to. And then they become too expensive on the street, so you start using heroin. It's cheaper, it's easier to get.
That's a woman we'll call Janet. The jail wouldn't let me use her real name ahead of her court hearing. Another woman here who we'll call Beth has been in and out of jail 67 times. This time, she's here for a probation violation and burglary while high on methamphetamines. She's now using Vivitrol, a pill taken once monthly to treat opioid addiction. Beth has been abusing heroin for 22 years.
It's a real struggle. And my kids missed me. Now I'm missing my grandkids. It's a cycle that don't stop.
Stories like this are common in the state of Ohio. It's at the epicenter of a tidal wave of opioid abuse that's ripped families and communities apart, causing a huge spike in crimes related to that addiction and a record number of overdoses. Over the past 2 years, more than 3,600 women ended up behind bars here because of an addiction-related crime. That's double what it was in 2014.
We've had to reorganize because of the female population.
Major Matt Haynes, who's worked at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department for 13 years, has never seen anything like it.
We didn't have enough beds.
Why are you going? The women's room here looks like an uncomfortable hospital waiting area. Two flat-screen TVs flank each end of a large day room, airing talk shows and cooking demonstrations, while women in dark green uniforms that resemble hospital scrubs play cards, sleep, read, or just sit around.
Now I got five. Go like this, you got four.
Haynes knows this place isn't the answer to their problems.
We want them to get help, we want them to get better, and ultimately we don't want them back in jail and reoffending.
That focus on help instead of punishment flies square in the face of those recent get tough comments made by President Trump. But experts here are sure of it. These women need treatment. Dayton police know it, Montgomery County Sheriff's Department knows it, and there are a lot of initiatives and programs that can get them that help. But the one thing women need to help them really get clean, to help them get back on their feet and stop using, someone who's been there, someone who can help them find that job, get that house, and stay connected to other women who are in recovery too. There's a program that can help them do that, and it's in an unlikely place, prison.
This was an old warden's house that's come down. This is where we're now clearing out the lot, and we're actually going to have a new nursery built.
It's a chilly Monday afternoon in Marysville, Ohio, and I'm riding around on a golf cart. I'm getting a tour from Clara Golding Kent. She's the public information officer for the Ohio Reformatory for Women. Built in 1916, this is the oldest prison in the state. Our golf cart crawls towards one of the low-slung, concrete buildings that houses the Tapestry Program. It's an inpatient treatment program for women in this prison. They commit to it for 18 months. It focuses not only on keeping them clean and sober, but changing their lives. Annette Dominguez, who leads this program, says the goal is to heal mind, body, and spirit.
It's not just about not using drugs anymore, but it's about changing how you think. How you think about the world, how you think about your place in it, how you think about yourself, most importantly, because most of the women come with serious self-esteem issues, in addition to their substance abuse issues, in addition to the sexual abuse, domestic violence, the myriad issues that, you know, that they have. And so they come here, where you have all of these women who have really similar problems and challenges and experiences, and the community itself is the agent of change.
Nowhere is that change more evident than on the faces of women in Tapestry, Right now, they are practicing for an upcoming talent show. They sing, others are working on their dance routines, and hula hoops are even involved.
I live here in the house with the sisters.
That's Lisa Duncan, a graduate of Tapestry. In here, they refer to each other as sisters. Lisa is still in prison, serving her sentence, and she gets to come back and work at Tapestry.
We are just here basically to just guide them in the right direction. I'm a repeat offender, and that's why I think it's very important for me to be here, because the sisters will understand that if you don't stay connected, then there's definitely another number under your belt. If you don't stay connected, you're definitely not strong enough to stand on your own out there. It's too hard. So we have to understand that we need each other to survive.
Because on the outside, there's just not enough support. For so many women, this is the first program that's worked. Ashley Porter is in Tapestry too, and she's still serving out her sentence. She struggled with addiction and couldn't find a program that helped her until she came here to prison.
I went through a detox program through Mary Haven, and I was only in it for a couple weeks, and then I just went back to using. But I think this program, it makes me want to be clean. It makes me want to be a better person. It taught me a new way of living, and it's possible to really go home and, you know, do the right thing.
Tapestry is a small part of the solution to addiction and female incarceration in the state of Ohio. It's not everything. People working in the community, the police, state and local health officials all recognize addiction is something you can't solve overnight. Another thing they agree on, you can't just arrest your way out of this problem. And that for a lot of these women, they just need a second chance.
One foot onto the ice, I hold my breath, and try to believe.
For the World, Allison Herrera, Marysville, Ohio.
Can I look at you with different eyes? Like the girl that I was when I was 17. The fallen empires, the shattered glass, the wicked echoes of my past. I've seen it all before, that's why I'm asking.
Will you still be here tomorrow, or will you?
This story was part of a collaboration between WYSO and PRI's Across Women's Lives series. To see photos of women featured in the story and to learn more, visit us at WYSO.org.